أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته من الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again we have the opportunity and the blessing of being in this blessed month of Ramadan. We mentioned a few points with regards to this month yesterday, and I would like to briefly touch on a couple more before we get to the discussion that hopefully, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to continue for the rest of the time that I will be blessed by being present here. Some of the things that we need to remember at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, reminders that every year we need to be reminded. Every single year, we need these reminders. We talked about how great a blessing this is and trying to remind ourselves of what a great opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. Once again, He's given us this life. He's allowed us to live through another month of Ramadan. He's allowed us to be able to fast. He's given us this tawfiq. We mentioned this yesterday. Let me put this in there as well. It's really a blessing to be able to fulfill our responsibilities. It's a blessing to be obligated to do certain things. You know, if we're not capable, if physically we're not able to perform, then Islam says you're not responsible, right? If it's harmful for you to fast, not only do you not need to fast, you can't fast. Even if you fast, it's not going to count. It's worthless. Don't go through the trouble. If it's harmful for you, just don't fast, because even if you do, it's not going to count. It may even be considered a sin. Okay. The ability to be able to be addressed by God, to be told to do something that's going to get us closer to Him, that itself is a great blessing. They say, Sayyid ibn Tawus, one of our great scholars in our history, a scholar that we have many great things that we have left behind from him, some of them being the du'as. If you refer to Mafatihul Janan, many times Shaykh Abbas Al-Qumi says Sayyid ibn Tawus, or Sayyid says such and such. It's Sayyid ibn Tawus, a very well-known spiritual person. It's a custom these days that people, I mean, I don't know when this started, but apparently it's not an Eastern custom to celebrate your birthday. Okay. But it's something that people look forward to over here, sometimes even older individuals. They have parties for their 80th birthday and so on and so forth. This particular scholar didn't used to celebrate his birthday. You know what time he used to celebrate? The day he became mukallaf. The day he became mukallaf. He marked in the calendar the day he said, I'm going to celebrate this day because this day is the day that I became worthy for God to address me and tell me to do this and not do the other. It's a blessing. Okay. Now, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing to enter this month, we wanted to talk about a few things as reminders to what to do in this blessed month. One of them, very importantly, is the Holy Quran itself. We have a saying that says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٌ وَرَبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. Everything has a spring. Okay. Nature has a spring for everything, in a sense. Okay. Even for the human being, there's sort of a spring in their life, in our lives. When we are young, that's kind of when we are going through spring time. Everything has a rabi'ah. Everything has a springtime. The spring of the Holy Quran is the month of Ramadan. This is a month that we have got to make sure we are more attached to the Holy Quran. We are more involved with the Holy Quran. It is inappropriate for us, the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt that are considered to be at par with the Qur'an. They are the speaking Qur'an. They have advised us on many occasions. They've said the Shia should be known by the recitation of the Qur'an. It is really not appropriate for us not to be involved with this, especially in the month of Ramadan. Especially in the month of Ramadan. I think last year we did go over the hadith that says, in the month, we had this hadith, I'm pretty sure I mentioned this last year in these sessions, that the imam was approached and asked, one of the imams, that is it okay for us to go through one round of recitation of the Quran over the course of 3 or 4 days, okay, to finish the Holy Quran from beginning to end? The course of 3 or 4 days. Okay. That to me is, you got to spend a lot of time to be able to do that. The imam said, it's not good to do that, except for the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, that is good. 3 or 4 days. In other words, that's going to be around, if you do it every 3 days, it's going to be 10 recitations, full recitations, full, 10 completions of the recitation of the Qur'an. This is the type of outlook we need to have. We need to think that we're going to be reciting at the very least, once. We've got to be a little more acquainted, a little more attached to the Holy Qur'an. Our recitations need to be perfected. We need to be able to recite better. We need to be able to look at the Qur'an, gradually start making sense of the words of the Holy Qur'an, spending a bit of time pondering, thinking, reading that translation, asking, discussing with others about the verses of the Holy Qur'an. Especially for the youth. If the Qur'an becomes a part of our life, as youth, as even younger than what we usually refer to as youth, even children. Okay, if we can have the children reciting the Qur'an properly, then gradually in their teens they'll be able to read and understand partially in the Qur'an. This will be something that will be very rewarding to this generation and the following generations. And I'll take this opportunity to advise all the brothers and sisters to come together. I mean, the 30 minutes before the talk, it's not too long. We can begin reciting one juz, one section of the Holy Quran. And you can continue it later on. But sitting together, to benefit from the Holy Quran will bring light to this masjid, to this center, okay, and to all of us, inshallah. So one thing is the Holy Quran. Let's take the opportunity and not lose it, inshallah. Another thing that we can seriously benefit from in this month, again as a reminder, because we talked about all of this last year as well, dua, dua, dua. The dua that we have for the month of Ramadan, it's seriously a loss if one goes through the month of Ramadan and doesn't benefit from these du'as. These are beautiful du'as. What they're going to lead to, if one starts to recite them, when we first start reading these du'as, it's just reading. Okay. We just read these words. And sometimes we tire ourselves as well with too much dua, reading too much over and over. Sometimes it just takes too long, which is not a good idea. Don't force yourself to do that dua in that way. If you can take 10-15 minutes, just read 10-15 minutes. If it didn't finish, it's okay. The point isn't to finish it. The point is something else. Through reading the dua, thinking about it, gradually developing an attachment, these du'as you're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the a'imma in these du'as have taught us how to speak to Allah. All right? It teaches us the etiquette of it. The adab, how we're supposed to address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you start addressing Him in that way, and you start understanding, it develops a very close relationship at that moment between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the goal. The goal is to develop that type of relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, with regards to this month, recite a salawat, please. We have something repeated in our ahadith, including the report that we had of the khutbah of the Holy Prophet. That is, the term that is used is muwasat. Okay. Muwasat means that you try your best in this month to share the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you with others. Okay. Trying to be a little more similar, your thirst and your hunger reminds you and reminds us of those who don't have enough to be able to eat a good meal. But on top of that, through sharing, trying to give more, identify the needy around you. There are plenty of needy out here as well. Identifying them, providing for them, giving to them, dressing a little less with extravagance and luxury, trying to stay a little more away from that, sharing with others, this is going to help. It's going to help remove that selfish character that is hidden within us, inshallah. These were just some reminders. I hope we're able, by the grace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform and to benefit. But the topic that we have decided to, inshallah, go over the course of this month, at least the first couple of weeks that we are here, is related to what we talked about last year. We talked about, very importantly, and I hope we haven't forgotten, the goal and the purpose of our creation. And that is, we have been created with a blessing that no other creation has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single one of you, every single one of us, the potential to be better than everyone else. And that is accomplished through the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which leads to the proximity of Allah, until inshaAllah, for those who can make it there, one can actually meet Allah. It's called liqa. فَمَنْ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. We've come to this month, and again, we should take this opportunity to advance on this path, try to move in that direction. Not stagnate. One of the things, in parentheses, I would say, which is good, and we have in our ahadith many times, in order to create that motivation, the spirit to move forward, is to look back. Look back at the past year, an entire year passed from the month of Ramadan of last year. How much was I able to progress during this time? How many things was I able, or were we able to begin and start in the month of Ramadan, but unfortunately we were not able to continue afterwards? How many sins were I able to avoid in that month, and afterwards I went back to them? We've got to learn from that. So we want to progress on this path. Last year, what we talked about in this regard was some of the practical steps that we can take. For example, we talked about dhikr, we talked about prayer, we talked about the relationship between us and our parents, us and our children, and so on and so forth. Certain things that are part of our apparent behavior. Okay, there are certain things that we are doing with this body of ours, and it's important for us to learn about that. Through those actions, through those practices, we're able to progress towards that goal and accomplish that goal. That's what we talked about last year. What I'd like to discuss briefly, and again, even last year, we didn't get to finish that. There's a lot to discuss, and there's plenty of more qualified people, I think, that can discuss these matters, and you can refer to different books. This is just to provoke your thoughts, provoke our thoughts to think, to learn a bit, and move forward, and follow it up ourselves. Okay. We want to move in a slightly different direction. Okay, it's still about how to progress towards the same objective. All of our life, our entire life should be thinking and acting towards that. If we lose even a second, it's a loss. All right, it's a loss. What do we want to focus on? We want to go within a little bit this year. Okay. The previous year, we try to address certain points regarding our apparent behavior. But this year we want to go within a little more. And I want to apologize from this point, from the very beginning. Some subjects, when discussed, they're a little more entertaining. Okay. And you can play around with them a little more and get the audience and get the crowd to laugh and to, you know, get into that type of a mood as well. And usually people like those topics a lot more. People enjoy those topics a lot more. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, not everything that we enjoy is the best thing for us or is best for us. Sometimes we need to go through something even if it's not as enjoyable. So I'm going to try to, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, to throw things in there to wake you up in the middle of the talk. But the nature of this discussion is that it's a little more, it requires a little more thought, a little more understanding, a little more concentration, and therefore it's going to take us away from the ability to spend too much on trying to grab your attentions with stories and so on and so forth. So, I'll try my best to try to avoid that, but there's not much I can do with that. We want to go within a little more. There are certain things within us. And in fact, the most important thing that we have is what's within. All of the apparent things that we talked about that we're supposed to do, only if they come out of us and they manifest from a good soul, a good character, that's when they're going to help us move in the direction that we talked about. And recite a salawat, please. It is the effect of them on that inner self that is going to be the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reached through the perfection of that inner self. That needs to change. Okay. Let me give you a couple of references for this. Recite a salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir in the Holy Quran, which is the 35th surah of the Holy Quran, verse 10. He says the following. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Man kana yuridu al-izzah falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. Ilayhi yas'adu al-kalimu at-tayyib wal-'amalu as-salih yarfa'u. We need to dig into our religion, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of deep thoughts within Islam that we're really missing out on. And we hope that we can get to some of these in these sessions. The verse says, "Man kana yuridu al-izza falillahi al-izzatu jami'a." A little bit of background. This is talking to the disbelievers, to the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Mecca. One of the reasons why the mushrikeen fought against the Holy Prophet, one of the reasons why the mushrikeen fought against the Holy Prophet was what? What did they want? Why did they feel threatened? They had a certain position in the society they were living in Mecca. They had a certain influence. They had a certain respect that people used to give them. And when Islam came, when the Holy Prophet came and started to say, "What the heck are you guys doing? What are these idols that you guys are worshiping?" And condemning that and enlightening people's thoughts that this is ridiculous, the foundation based on which they had that influence and that respect in their community was being undermined. Okay. And they were fighting to get that back. They were fighting the Holy Prophet to get that influence back, to get that izzah back. That's what they wanted. They wanted izzah. Okay. They wanted izzah. That these words in English aren't really getting the point across. That's why I'm repeating the word izzah. Influence, respect, these are not good equivalents of the concept of izzah. It's a lot deeper. It means that, you know, my will, what I want to do, I'm able to accomplish that. Influence and respect is what enables you to get there. Okay. If you don't have respect in a community, if you don't have respect in your family, you want to do something, you're not going to be able to do it. Okay. If you don't have influence in your family, you want to move your family in a certain direction, you're not going to be able to do that. Okay. So influence and respect are means through which one is able to accomplish that. Otherwise, izzah is something a little deeper. They wanted izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, "Man kana yuridu al-izzah falillahi al-izzatu jami'a." If you're looking for that, if you want respect, if you want influence, if you want to be able to accomplish what you set out to do, then All of that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has all izzah. No one actually has any izzah without God. Nobody. Not even the kuffar have izzah without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing that. No one. No one can lift a finger without God willing and without God allowing it to happen. Okay. All izzah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that has full influence, full authority, and no one else has any authority unless He wills it, unless He gives it. So if you're looking for that, go to God. Don't try to use some ridiculous means, going to the idols and, you know, giving false ideology to people to try to gain their respect. No, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Him, and so on and so forth. So first, initially, it says this, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of izzah lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says the following, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. Literally, it translates to a rough translation. To him ascends الكلم الطيب, good words, and I'll explain. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ, and good deeds elevate those good words. First of all, through the looking at the verse and the sequence of what is being mentioned in the verse, it is trying to present to us, if izzah lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I acquire that izzah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The verse is trying to explain that. So how is it? He says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. The second part of it, وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ, we talked about last year. Good deeds help elevate, right? But good deeds like charity, like going to Hajj, like prayer and so on and so forth, are not just going to elevate anything. They're going to elevate al-kalimu al-tayyib. What is al-kalimu al-tayyib? Mufassirin have discussed this. Allama Tabatabai has discussed it, and he says, it appears what is meant by al-kalim and sometimes al-kalima in the Holy Quran are elements of faith that are true. In other words, belief in true facts of this world. Belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in the Holy Prophet. Belief in the Holy Quran. Belief in the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. This is al-kalimu al-tayyib. Okay. But this kalim al-tayyib, these good words, these good beliefs, these truths that one has faith towards, the realities are out there. Okay, the reality that God exists and God is one is out there. It's not here. It's not a belief. The belief exists within a being, and that's our inner selves. In other words, al-kalimu al-tayyib is talking about a soul, a nafs, a ruh that has these true beliefs. And it says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. These proper beliefs in a soul, in a nafs, are in and of themselves going to ascend. يَصْعَد. And then the actions help this. This itself, it's like hot air, it goes up. But then you can have a fan that helps it go up even further. That's what that does. Al-amalu salih yarfa'u. So the more important thing is that kalimu tayyib. Let me give another reference, and we'll end with that, I think, inshallah. Recite a salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 64 is the reference that I want to make. But we're going to have to understand verse 1, 261 as well. All right. First, let me explain the reference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 264 of Surah Al-Baqarah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. The reason why I'm using this is to say that, look, the apparent behavior in and of itself doesn't mean anything. What means everything is the source of this action, the inner self that we want to focus on. The verse is about sadaqat, charity. All right. I don't think anybody has any doubt that charity is one of the best things that people can do. Right? We just talked about it, muwasat in the month of Ramadan, providing iftar, trying to provide food, clothing, shelter, any type of help and support and assistance for others is charity. And that's something that people across the globe appreciate. Everyone, whether they are Muslim, they are non-Muslim, they are Shia, they are not Shia, even if they're atheists, they don't believe in any God, one of the things they appreciate is charity. People understand the good in that, right? The action is considered something very good and very valuable. But this verse tells us something a little different. All right. It tells us that actually this charity that you think is all that great, it can be completely useless. Completely useless. All right. It says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O people who believe, do not make void your charities. Okay, this first part of it, well, I don't have much time, but I'll just briefly run through that. بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Sometimes we give charity, but after we give that charity, we help and assist someone, but afterwards, every time we see them, we rub it in. Okay. If we help the masjid or the center, we, every time we walk into that place, we just hold our head up and we walk in a way to make ourselves known. It was me, I gave this much or the other amount. Okay. Man and adha. He says, don't make void your charity by that. Okay. Then it says the following: كَالَّذِي يُنفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Don't make it void like the charity of someone who gives charity رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ for people to see. That's another serious problem in giving charity. Sometimes people give charity because they want that name. Wealthy people sometimes have given loads of charity, but when you look at them, in most of those cases, or at least in many of those cases, somehow they want their name put out there. Okay, they want to be respected for giving that charity. They want people to see that and they want to feel good. All right. Sometimes people give charity for that reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, if you do man and adha, maybe initially your intentions, your motives were sincere. But afterwards, through rubbing it in, aggravating the person, disturbing the person by reminding them every time you see them and so on and so forth, says you make it void. But the person who gives charity with this motivation, for people to see, to impress people, to have respect amongst people, that person's charity is worthless from the beginning. Okay. كَالَّذِي يُنفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This is something we understand. But the verse continues and it gives a very interesting example. And that example is something that we can benefit from a bit more. He says, فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٍ فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. The example of this is a hard stone that is covered with a bit of soil. فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ. The rain pours. فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. It leaves that stone bare without any soil above it. لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا. The person is not going to be able to have access to any of what they have done. Now, what is this example trying to tell us? In order to understand it, we have to understand the example mentioned in verse 261. In 261, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about charity. He says, the example of those who give charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a seed that is planted on the earth, and it grows and it gives 700 grains. That one grain was planted and it turned into 700. It multiplies. Okay. That's the example of giving charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you have given is going to multiply 700 times, even more. Okay. So the example for that, the multiplication, is the example of a seed being planted. This example here completes that picture in the particular discussion that we're having. Someone who gives that charity, the charity was planting a seed in soil, and it's going to do what? It's going to grow and become 700 times what it actually was, what it initially was. All right? He says, well, if you give that charity and what's within, that is not right. The intention, the motivation is not right. That inner self, this action which is manifesting, is not manifesting out of goodness. All right? If we want to use the same example, the Quran says, it's still planting a seed. Charity is still planting that seed. But you're not going to get any result. Why? Because the soil that was here, that you planted the seed in it, and it was supposed to grow from, is not good. It's rock solid. It says, when God sends that rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes everything grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes your actions multiply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rewards to the actions. Everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy manifesting. And the example of that is the example of rain coming down. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that example in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is constantly descending. It's constantly pouring down. The word that is used is wabil. When it pours down sometimes, okay, you're just looking for shelter. It's so much rain, right? So the rain is coming. God is sending His blessings. And you have planted that seed. You gave charity. But the problem is that inner self, the core that this plant is supposed to grow in, is messed up. You need fertile soil for that seed to grow. But if you have that rock beneath a very thin layer of soil, he says, when you have that rock in the thin layer of soil, you plant that seed in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His shower down. He showers you with mercy. But the problem isn't God not showering down His mercy. The problem is your ability to take that. You're rock solid. Instead of the rain helping that grain multiply even more than 700 times, what is it going to do? The verse is it washes that little bit of soil on the rock, and you just have that bare rock. And the seed is not going to grow. Right? That's why the inner self, the inner part of us, that is the most important thing. If that is fertile ground, we have a hadith. I believe it's from Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa When Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi was a child, he was, and we got to learn from this as well, from this example of the Imam. The Imam was getting involved with very difficult worships. We have trouble with the obligations, barely making it. The Imam was fasting on difficult days, hot days, doing a lot of prayer, going through stress to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Troubling this physical body of his to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His father, Imam al-Baqir, if I get that coming, it's two of the Imams. I think it's Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq. I could be wrong. The father says, "Son, why are you troubling yourself so much and disturbing your body so much in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" He says, "Out of love, I want to worship Allah. I want to get close." The Imam tells him, if a person is good, if that inner self is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept little from that person. That little from a person who has that inner self developed, and all the problems that lead to that inner self becoming rock solid, resolved, a little bit of action, you don't need to disturb your body too much, it's going to work. It's going to get you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that inner self is not made right, then even if you trouble yourself 24/7, it's not going to work. It's about that inner self of ours. And we hope that we're able to, in this month of Ramadan, have a better understanding of this and how it works, what some of the problems of that inner self that are not as apparent are, how we can resolve them, what some of the things we can do with the inner self to try to move in the right direction. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just to allow us to hear this and not progress, we ask Him to help us be able to, through these teachings, move in His direction, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed eve, it is the first Thursday night and the eve of Friday of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan itself is a very blessed time of the year, and Thursday nights are a very, very blessed time. And this is, we're approaching that time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed time that He hastens the return of our beloved Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this blessed month to develop ourselves, to become the true and close companions of this beloved Imam. We ask Him to please the heart of our Imam from us. We ask Him to help us not to disturb the heart of our Imam through the misdeeds, the sins that we commit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Him to forgive them all of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the brothers and sisters that are present here, those who are not present, all believers throughout the globe, their needs, their hajat, their requests, whatever they need, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide them with them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end to, by the right and the truth of the Imam of our time, the one who is to spread justice on the face of the earth, we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they are facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.